All right, we built this series, Relationships God's Way, on the premise that every problem in the world is a problem with relationships. And over the last few weeks, we looked at the first and second relationships that God ever created, the relationship between God and man, and the relationship between man and woman together with God. And it was a beautiful, holy, God-honoring union that brought glory to our Creator. It was original. It was original. However, you might still be saying to yourself, well, Pastor, thank you for laying this out all so nicely. We've learned how it was supposed to be, right? How things were supposed to be done. But I'm looking at my life and I'm saying, I didn't follow the original plan. I didn't do things the way they were supposed to be done. So what do I do? What do I do now? And that's why this sermon, this final sermon, is called Relationships Now What? What do we do now? And the question this morning is how do you get back on track once you've realized you've broken God's original plan for your life? Whether by your own self-will or maybe even because of someone else's self-will, the plan got messed up. The plan was broken. What is the path forward? All right, so we're going to dive into that. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 26. So if you have your Bibles, you want to open your phones, if you want to follow along, Genesis chapter 26, before we get there, someone once said, to be old and wise, you must first be young and stupid. Now, I don't believe that's completely true. I don't think you have to be stupid to be wise, okay? But the point is that you will make mistakes in this life, and you must learn from them. You must learn from your mistakes. Let me tell you another word for that. It is the word repentance. Repentance. Okay? True repentance is learning from your mistakes. If you make them, and you will, you got to learn from them. Repentance means to turn around and head in the opposite direction from where you were going. If you just hopped out of one bad relationship and then you hopped right in to the next one, all right, hoping for a different result, you didn't learn from your mistakes, right? Be truly repentant by your actions, not just feelings of sorrow. Paul talks about this when he says that there is such a thing as worldly sorrow, and there's another thing called godly sorrow. And he says that godly sorrow leads us to repentance. And that's where we have to get. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, you might have to do a few things. You might have to ask for forgiveness. You might have to ask someone for forgiveness based on your situation. You might need to say that you're sorry to someone. You might need to admit your own failures. You might need to forgive yourself. You might need to do that. You may need to stop blaming that other person. You may need to start admitting your own reoccurring relationship problems Because the common thing in all your relationships is, yep, I didn't say it. Someone out there said it. All right? Humility is always the beginning of the path forward. Humility. You want to find the trailhead for being restored? You've got to look for signs of humility. All right, so as we approach this sermon, I want to approach it with hearts of humility. I want us to be ready to hear what the Lord has to say today with humble hearts, okay? Ready to receive, all right? All right, number one, are you ready? How do we get back on track? One, you must realize what God has already done. Realize what God has already done. This sounds like good news, doesn't it? I don't know if this will surprise you or not, but relationship problems have relationship answers. Okay? Because God so loved the world, this original plan of his, that God himself stepped up to make it right. Even though he didn't make it wrong. He stepped up to make it right. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Did you catch that? It said before. Everybody say before. 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 Meaning he prepared to make you holy and blameless in his sight before the creation of the world. How great is that? Also meaning he already knew what would happen to you. He knew what you would do before you knew what you would do and did it. He already knew it. And he was prepared a long, long time ago to take care of it. How did he accomplish this new holiness in our lives? Right? Because we want to be holy. We want to feel that. We want to be restored, right? Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. All right, Romans 10, 4 says this. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. You see, grace has been applied to your situation. If you believe in what he has already done for you, you are made right with him. But you got to believe it. And so you've got to start right there. You've got to understand that God has already acted on your behalf to make things right. Through a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. The relationship problem had a relationship answer all along. And he already prepared for that. Isn't that great? Now, does that fix it all? Because you're like, help me to fix it. Right? We want to fix it. Does that fix it all? Well, it kind of fixes it all. I mean, when you're talking about eternity, yeah, that kind of fixes that. But the problem is, I still live here on this dirt, on this earth. And so that's what God has already done. What do we need to do? Point number two is this. Submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. You're like, Pastor, that doesn't sound like anything new that I don't already know. You must submit yourself to God. That is your job. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, this is a well-known verse, but let's just look at this for a minute. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him or acknowledge him in some versions. But in all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. All right, did you see that? He wants to get you back on the right path. He wants to straighten you out. Come on, we got to get straightened out, right? This isn't about coming and erasing what you did and then sending you on your way again. No, it's not about that. It's about getting you back on track, getting you on the path. Okay, this is the answer. We have to walk on a path that God has laid out for us. Not a one-time deal. It's a lifelong journey. There's a path for you. All right? You have ways. All right, everyone say, I have ways.
I have ways.
Yeah, you do. You said it. I made you say it, but you have ways, right? You have your ways. Some of you have your own ways of doing things. We must submit all our ways to him, right? You've walked in your own path in life based upon your own understanding of things, meaning you've done things your way for a long time, and so now you need to start trusting God. Right, relationships between man and God in the Bible were built on trust. All of them were built on trust. And many of them, if you study them, were built in very difficult circumstances. Okay, we have a sin-saturated world. Nobody is running through gardens like innocent children anymore. Right? Life got very hard after the fall of mankind. There are consequences to every decision that we make in life, both good and bad, and there's blessings and there's curses. Okay? That's the setup. So let's go to our text, Genesis 26. And here's where we are. Abraham has died. Abraham's passed on. Isaac is now living in the land of Canaan. Isaac was Abraham's son, the son of the promise that Abraham and Sarah had at a very old age, right? Isaac is living in the land of Canaan. It's the promised land that he's living in. This is long before there ever was an Israel. God's plan was to make a great nation out of Abraham's family through Isaac. Good. We're in the right place. We're doing the right thing. Here's what happens. A terrible famine sweeps over the land. What does Isaac do now that his father Abraham is dead? You see, it's now Isaac's turn to figure out life. And he says, well, I'll do what Dad did. I'll go to Egypt. Exactly what his father did. It's what Abraham did. See, people were dependent upon Egypt at this time in that region. They were a source. Genesis 26, verse 2. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you, for to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. God says, don't go down to Egypt, right? Don't go back there. Don't go back where you came from. That's where things went wrong. All right, don't go back to the same places that I pulled you out of. Some of us are living in the wrong places right now, literally. You're living somewhere that God doesn't want you to live. And you're making the same mistake again. God says, just stay right here. Stay in the land where I tell you to live, and I will bless you. Now listen, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense because we're in a famine. There is a famine going on. But what did Isaac do? Isaac stayed. He listened to God. He dropped his plans, and he submitted to God's plans. What is God saying here with this story? He's saying, look, stop looking around at all of the bad things that are going on in your life, that are going on around you. Stop looking at your life that way and start trusting me. That must have been a challenge. And that means that for us, we have to submit to what God is asking us to do. And that's the whole point. When life starts to get really difficult, instead of splitting, start submitting. Okay? Some of us have a real knack for running away, a real knack for splitting and taking off and going somewhere else when hard things happen. No, no, this is the wrong way. You need to submit. Submit to God's word, okay? Too many relationships have felt the pain and the pressure that this sinful world carries. And instead of submitting those relationships to God, they're looking elsewhere for help. That's what Isaac was tempted to do. But here's what I love about this. Isaac didn't let the famine destroy his faith. He didn't let the famine destroy his faith. He didn't let this physical famine, the things that were going on in real life, turn into a spiritual famine in his life. What did he do instead? Genesis 26, verse 12. Listen, Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. Amen. That doesn't make any sense. We're going through a famine, and Isaac is blessed 100-fold. Is that crazy? Now, this is not the first nor the last famine in the Bible. It's an interesting study to look at famines. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know that God is wise and he knows how to get your attention? Agree? Someone said famines are to get people's attention through their stomach. Yeah? Does your stomach ever get your attention? Yeah, you're like right now, you're like, look, get me out of here. I want some food. Anybody want lunch already? Like, hurry up, Pastor. Your stomach gets your attention. Now, I know a whole bunch of you, I remember because I was there. You were here last week and you were celebrating with Pastor Jim and Sharon because you love them and we wanted to honor them. But it didn't hurt that we had Wright's Barbecue, right? Come on. Right? Give me some burnt ends, Lord. I'll do whatever you want. Thank you, Jesus. Right? God knows how to get your attention. He really does. And sometimes it's through your stomach. Okay, now this is a tough lesson in the Bible. This is tough, guys. You got to pay attention to this. Sometimes God is getting your attention through scarcity. shortness in supply. That's what a famine is, right? An insufficiency, a feeling that something is missing from your life. You know what that is? I'll tell you. It's a spiritual famine. A spiritual famine. It's the thing that's missing. And it's been missing from relationships that have fallen apart and fallen to pieces. Spiritual famine. There is a severe lack in your life. However, you can take heart today because that lack is meant to drive you back. The lack is meant to drive you back. So if you're experiencing that in your life right now, let me tell you what God is doing. Something's missing. God is trying to drive you back to Him. And He will do that until you turn. Sometimes our Lord works in ways that get our attention. And the whole answer is this: are you willing to submit to Him in all your ways? No matter what comes along, no matter the circumstances, will you follow the Lord because you know He keeps His promises? And His ways are the best and the most abundant. That's actually what 100-fold means. It doesn't even mean 100 times what He planted. It actually means the best yield for what you sowed. And don't you want that? You want the best yield for what you sowed. And so we have to learn to plant ourselves in the Lord's plans. Amen. All right. Good point. Is it that simple? Is it that simple? Well, Isaac listened to the Lord. Genesis 26:13, here's what happened. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So listen to this. All the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. They're like, oh, great, Lord, I trusted you, and now all my resources have been cut off. Thanks a lot. All right, but Isaac did what God said. Here we have some actions taken against him from people who envied his wealth. To me, it sounds like trusting God is actually creating more problems in relationships. Right? That's difficult when you do what's right and you still get hammered. Isn't that hard? What did Isaac do? Did he leave the region? Did he split? Did he go live somewhere else? No, he stayed. And Genesis 26:18, listen to this. Listen, Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Here's point number three I want to make today. You've got to separate the fallout from your faith. Separate the fallout from your faith. Okay, here's what you need to start thinking in your mind. There will be fallout in life. There will be fallout from your faith. In this case, we see some fallout for obedience to God. That is what some of life consists of, taking the punches of the world for the obedience to God, for your obedience to God. And there are also consequences for our disobedience to God. Either way, there is fallout in life. You may experience some of this for doing the right thing. You see, that's what happened to Isaac. There was all kinds of conflict and struggle and opposition and arguments that we don't even have time to get into today. All these different wells he dug? Because the people were trying to force him out of the promised land. He didn't go out in fear, so they just tried to force him out by cutting off his resources. He wouldn't leave on his own. Because you have a little fallout in your life from your broken relationships, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Right? He sees you as holy and blameless, if you will believe in him. But you may have some consequences that have resulted from doing things your own way for so long. And the truth is, we may actually deserve what we got. Anyone here deserve what they got? I know I did a few times. But even if we don't deserve what we got because someone else did something to us, like what happened to Isaac, there may be some hard work that needs to be done. And so Isaac began the hard, committed work of reopening the wells. Oh, how unfair is that, that he had to reopen the wells, re-dig them out? I like the one and done idea. He had to do it again. Isaac not only reopened his father's wells, but he dug more wells and he found an even better well. It was a well of fresh running water, which is a true source of life that he found in the promised land, in the land of famine. See, God had something even better for Isaac. And imagine if Isaac had walked away and gone to Egypt and went to live somewhere else. He would never have found that life spring of water, one that even Abraham never found. And Isaac found yet other wells, and he dug other wells, and he just kept up with the hard, committed work of serving the Lord. And finally, people stopped bugging him because they knew he was blessed by God. He kept finding wells. They're like, "I let's leave him alone. He's just too blessed." Crazy, huh? That's how it works. Now, in God's understanding of the land of famine, he already knew the wells were there. He knows where the wells are. But he's trying to drive you to them. You see that? You got to find them. He will drive you to them. Isaac didn't know where they were. He just had to trust the Lord, and God led him to the right places. He led him in the forward path. All right, as we close this down, what does it take to get back in your relationship track, to get back on your relationship track? Number one, understand what God has already done, okay? For those who believe, he has made things right. Number two, submit yourself completely to God in all your ways. Three, forget about the fallout. Move through it in faith. Move through the fallout in faith, the hard stuff. You got to commit, work hard. And this fourth point here, I want you to write down, some of you are writing, open the wells again. Open the wells again. It takes hard, committed work to reopen the wells of relationships, doesn't it? That's hard to do. But to get reestablished after life has been stopped up by the world or by others, by your enemies, whatever, trying to cut you off from your source. But listen, we can't allow what happens to us physically. We can't allow the physical famines in your life to turn into spiritual famines in your life. Amen? I know that you're looking for peace. I know that you're looking for grace. And you need wisdom and transformation and hope and restoration. It is all found in Christ Jesus. Allow him access today Ask him back into your life today, back into your relationships today, and put your trust completely in him. And then get ready for the hard work he wants to do in your life, because there's some hard work to be done. And you've got to reopen your heart. You've got to dig it out. You've got to reopen your heart to the Lord again. Amen? Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. She was at a well, drawing water. And she had all sorts of relationship problems. She had had five husbands, and she was on her sixth one. But Jesus told her, as she drew from the well, he said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And in the end, it is God who leads us to the sources of life. He is our source of life. Amen? He has already prepared to be that for you if you will put your faith in him. And I love in Revelation, there's a picture of the Lamb who was slain is standing there in the book of Revelation. And here's what he says. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you've already worked so hard for all of us. You've already given your son. God, by his stripes, we are already healed and we are forgiven. And your word says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." You did that already. Lord, let us submit our lives to you. Let us plant ourselves in your word and in your ways. And Lord, give us that yield, that 100-fold yield that we need, which means the best that we could yield out of what we sow. Even in hard times and hard circumstances, Lord, let us not allow those circumstances to become spiritual famines. And let us turn back to you for the places that we have run away to and tried to live on our own. But let us come back to you, our source of living water. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.